How many of you have ever been hurt before? Okay, let me try that again. How many have ever been hurt before? How many have been hurt more than once? How many had someone else, someone that you trusted, and you, that they hurted you? Yeah, that they hurt you. Okay. How many ever just been hurt with life? I'm not talking just the challenges of life. Sometimes you just want to go, you know what I mean? Am I the only one? Man, I had a week this week. I mean, just life, you know, was like slapping me around a little bit. What is important, and what I want to teach you today, is the criticalness of you recognizing that life can embitter you. Life can cause you to become very bitter. And we have to be mindful of it. How many know sometimes things can creep into our heart in this subtleness, and next thing you know, we've got an attitude, and listen to me, it's so subtle. How many of you ever, I know this isn't going to apply to many of you, how many ever you gained weight? And how many know, it's not like, how many know this doesn't happen? It's not like you go over to Shakey's and you just go for it at bunch of lunch, eat four lunches, you know what I mean? It's not like you go home and the next day you wake up and your buckle is, you know, you have to get another hole. How many know that doesn't happen? You ate four lunches at bunch of lunch and next day you still are putting it in the same hole. But what's my point? My point is we don't gain weight like overnight. But how many know you can gain weight in 2 months? What I'm saying is that's the subtlety of what I'm talking about. And what I'm going to ask you to do is for you to be open to recognize I could be talking to you even if you don't think I'm talking to you. You'll see it, because one thing that bitterness is, it's very subtle and it's very self-deceptive. Let's turn to John. We'll have it up here on the screens. John. And I want you to look at the 11th chapter in John. And 11th chapter, it's a familiar story, but there's some things that I want to glean out of this story that's going to be very helpful to us. Starting with verse 30, it says this. Now Jesus had not yet come to the town. He was coming to the town, but he was outside, and he had a discussion with, I forget if it was Martha or Mary, Martha. But then after he discusses this stuff with Martha, he comes into the town. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. But now he's going to come into the town. Look at this. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, then they saw that Mary arose quickly. Now Mary, her sister, is going to talk to him, and went out to follow her, saying, Jesus is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, he saw her, fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, guys in the back, follow me. If you go back to the 21st verse, 21st verse. Look what it says. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha says almost exactly the same thing that her sister said. Lord, if you had been here, if you would have got here, and remember the text, remember what happened? Jesus they sent someone to get Jesus. Martha and Mary sent someone to get Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus heard that, but then he stayed 2 days. He delayed 2 days. Can I tell you what? Many times, and I want to talk to you about bitterness today. I want to talk to you about, and let me tell you what bitterness will do. Bitterness will cause you to give up. Bitterness will cause you to give up too soon. I've got some points today. My first point is this. Bitter people blame others for problems. That's what Martha and Mary are doing. God, Jesus, it's your fault. If you had got here, not this, Jesus, thanks for coming. Not thank you for coming. Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Both of them had the same thing. Both of them said the same thing. Both of them thought the same thing. Bitterness will cause you to blame other people. It's not my fault. You know what, God? It's your fault. How many know sometimes in life things don't go exactly the way you think they're going to go? Things don't go, and they thought, you know what, we're going to go send Jesus. He's going to get here on time. You know what? But no, they are ticked. They are upset. They are bitter. God, why weren't you here? If you had gotten here on time, my brother wouldn't have died. Both of them said the same thing. Both of them said the exact same thing. Not we're grateful. Can I tell you what? Jesus didn't make Lazarus sick. But Jesus is getting blamed for Lazarus' death. You know, many times in life, you know what? We blame Jesus for things. We blame God for things that we shouldn't blame God for. And we can even become embittered towards God. Can I tell you what? Jesus is not the author. This is a side note, but this is an important note. Jesus is not the author of sickness and disease. That is right. He is not the author of sickness and disease. Read your Bible. You know what? Back before man sinned, there was no sickness and disease. That's God's plan. But they're going to blame Jesus for Lazarus' death, and they're going to become embittered. My second point is this. Bitterness happens when you allow things on the outside to contaminate what is on the inside. Bitterness comes when you allow things on the outside things, to contaminate you on the inside. Naomi. You know what Naomi means? Naomi means my joy. Naomi's parents obviously named her that, and when they would call her in, Naomi was their joy, my joy. And every time you'd say Naomi, they'd say, Naomi, my joy, come on in. Naomi, my joy, let's have some coffee. Naomi, my joy, I want you to clean up your room. But Naomi changed her name. She changed her name to Mara. You know what Mara means? Mara means bitterness. Now, let me tell you why she changed her name. She changed her name because outside circumstances infected her and corrupted her inside. When she went to Moaz, before she went to Moaz, you know what? When she went to Moaz, her husband was alive, and her sons were alive. But at Moaz, she lost her husband, and she lost her sons. And after she lost her husbands and sons, then she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. She changes her name. She says, call me bitterness. What happened? The outside circumstances caused her to become bitter. And you say, but Pastor, I mean, he gets. She lost her husband. She lost her son. Well, listen, that is the question. See, I'm not saying that staying unbitter isn't tough, isn't going to cause you to be challenged. I'm saying to you, if you allow the situations in life to cause you to become bitter, if you allow that, everybody say allow it. See, let me tell you, it's your choice. You don't choose, you know what, circumstances around you, but you choose what your attitude is towards those circumstances. And Naomi says, I'm telling you what I'm choosing. This has hurt me. It's hurt me so bad. Don't call me my joy anymore. Call me bitterness. Now, there's people who've done that very thing. And they won't say, call me bitterness. But you ever been around somebody who's bitter? Hello? Nobody wants to raise their hand? Have you ever been around? And they're like, you're like, hey, you know what I mean? And they're just like, yeah, 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 yeah. What are they saying? They're saying, that's who I am. Let me tell you who I am. I'm bitter, and I'm going to let you know it. And I just want you, you know what? I just have learned that that's how I act. They're not saying call me bitterness, but they are acting that way. That's how their outlook is. They have this outlook. See, life can twist your outlook on life. And let me tell you what, when you allow it to do that, understand this. Take responsibility. You're allowing it to happen. But Pastor, it's tough. Okay, well, a lot of things are tough. Amen? You know, how many know it's tough to clean your room? Come on, somebody. How many have us busy? But you are responsible for that. How many know it's tough to clean the garage? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But you're responsible for that. Number three, understand this. Bitterness is easy to see in others, but it's hard to see in yourself. Again, how many know somebody who's bitter? Easy to see it in others, but many times it's hard to see it in yourself. And here's what we do. We don't call it what it is. We're like, I'm not bitter. You know what I mean? You're biting. I'm not bitter. Oh, I can tell. You know what I mean? I'm not bitter. You know, I'm just careful. I'm just careful. You know what I mean? I'm not angry. I just know how you are. No, you don't. I'll show you later on. What's happened is your perception has gotten twisted. I'm not saying that you don't think that. I'm just saying that your perception, bitterness will twist your perception. Let me tell you about you. You just got your head in the clouds all the time. I'm just real, man. I'm just real. No, you're not. You're bitter. No, you're not. You're not being real. You're bitter. And what that's going to do is the outside has infected the inside, and now that inside is going to dictate the rest of your life. And it will ruin your life. My third point, until you call it what it is, you won't be free. You've got to take responsibility for what's going on in your life. Until you call it, until you recognize it in yourself and call it. Why? Because how in the world can you repent of a sin that you think you're not doing? I'm not. You know what? I don't need a haircut. Yeah, you do. Hello? But again, my stay here, but my third point, it's hard to see it in yourself. But that doesn't mean it's not there. It just means it's hard to recognize it in yourself. Easy to recognize in others. How many know, let me just ask you, how many know older people that are bitter? Raise your hand if you know. You ever talk to an old person? And they're like, they're just like ugly. They're just like, ugh. What's happened? Life has happened. Life's happened to them. But you ever know some old person who's sweet? Older person who's sweet? You know, we've got a great example of, we have many great examples of this in the church. But one example we have in the church is Steve. And the reason why I like to get Steve around the interns is because Steve is sweet. Amen? Amen? And I guarantee you, he's had challenges in his life. He's had disappointments in his life. You know what? Life has beat him up just like it beats everybody else up. But he has chosen to react godly and properly to those challenges in his life. So I remember when we do this South Sanctuary, Steve and I would show up at 7 o'clock, and one of the first things I do is I get him a cup of coffee because I found out he liked coffee. And I give him a cup of coffee, and he just like act like that coffee was like $100 bill. He'd just be like, oh, thank you, Pastor Drew. Man, this is great. I mean, he really would act like it was great. Remember, I would go to the donut shop across the street and buy him and myself these really good croissants, breakfast sandwich with cheese and egg and ham. They were really, really, really good. But you know what? And he was so grateful. But one day he said this to me. He said, hey, Pastor, and he just tiptoed through the tulips, so sweet. He said, Pastor, you know what? Thank you so much. I really like these sandwiches. They're really, really good. But to be honest with you, it's like way too much cholesterol. Can you stop bringing me the sandwiches? Here's my point. Even when he's, you know, he was like, hey, man, what are you trying to do, kill me? No, that wasn't, you know what I mean? But how many know somebody who's bitter, that's how they'll act. Everything's against them. You know what I mean? They don't see the goodness. They see everything is tainted. I'll show you that in the scripture. Everything is tainted. They can't see something. Well, Pastor, what'd you do? Well, I just started, you know what? I started bringing him a bran muffin. You know what I mean? He'd be like, oh, Pastor, these bran muffins are so good. You know what? One day, because he talked about how good they were. One day, I bought one for me. Amen. Oh, they weren't very good. Amen. I'm saying, you know what? You can either grow happy or you can grow bitter, and it's your choice. Because let me tell you what, life beats everybody up. It does. Number four, five, thank you. Bitterness will cause you, listen, this is so critical. Bitterness will cause you to give up. Bitterness will cause you to give up. Look at John chapter 11, verse 39. John chapter 11, verse 39. Look what it says. Then Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of whom who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus, this ain't going to happen. See, let me tell you what bitterness will do. Bitterness will cause you to give up on life. Bitterness will cause you to give up on people. Bitterness will cause you to give up on situation. You used to be hopeful. You're not hopeful no more. You're like, man, and what you do is you say, well, this is, you know, no, I'm protecting myself. You know what? And that's what happens. That hurts cause you to put up these walls and listen, and you think that you're protecting yourself. Well, doesn't the Bible say that I'm supposed to, you know what, protect my heart with all diligence? Yeah, but if that protecting your heart means that you push away people. Can I tell you what? Think about it. Well, yeah, but they did this to me. They did that to me. They did this. Okay, excuse me. I don't know what you're thinking. Because until you get to heaven, you're going to be surrounded with imperfect people. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And what you're doing is Tamara, do you remember what Jimmy Evans called it? He was talking about this very thing this morning. Iniquity is called something else, where you start proclaiming. Here's what you say. You say, I'll tell you what, no one's going to hurt me anymore. Yeah, you start making these inner vows. No one's going to hurt me anymore. And you have disguised it. Satan has deceived you by thinking that you're, whoa, no, that's a good thing. No, let me tell you. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. You are calling that good. You think you're protecting yourself. Listen, God hasn't called you on this earth, you know what, to get hurt and then be in some kind of bubble that you won't let anybody in. Because let me tell you, if you've been hurt once, you're going to be hurt again. And you're going to be hurt again, and you're going to be hurt again. Well, thank God. God, here's what Jesus said. You know what? He said, one of his ministries, he said, let me tell you what I am. I heal broken hearts. You know what? This mentality of saying, I'm never gonna let anybody hurt me again. What did you call it again? Inner vows. You know what? I'm telling you what, there is a spirit, but understand that spirit is not the spirit of love. It's not the spirit of God. It's the spirit that says, no, I'm going to keep people away from me. And can I tell you the truth? And some of you have done this even with family members. How many of you know this, that nobody can hurt you like a family member can hurt you? And you build up these walls, and listen, and I'm just going to go there, and what's happened is the one thing, and you've given up. And you've given up on people. You know what David did this once? He said, I've said in my heart, you know what? All men are liars. That's what David said. All men are liars. I've made up my mind. Oh, you know what? So you come, you're like, hey, dude, what's going on? You know what I mean? And David's like, okay. You know, what's your angle? You know what I mean? How are you going to, listen, this permeates not just older people. How many know nowadays it permeates even younger people? It's a cynicism of like, dude, how are you going to disc me? You know, how are you going to jack me up? Because let me tell you what, I know you. And I know you. Everybody's got an angle. Let me tell you what, that's not the Spirit of God. You know, let me tell you the Spirit of God. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Let me tell you the Spirit of God. Therefore, choose life. Can I tell you what? God expects that every single one of us, you talk about optimism. There is no one more optimistic than God. You know what the Bible says? Paul showed me this in Revelation one time, but I was reading the Old Testament. Man, Old Testament, great thing to read. Amen? Yes. And I saw it in another place in the Old Testament. You know what God has done? God has written everybody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody.
I said, Pastor, that's bad theology. Are you saying everybody's going to heaven?
No, I'm not saying everybody's going to heaven. When you reject God, you know what? God blots your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But that's your choice, not his. His choice, he's the optimist. He puts your name down. Oh, they're going to love me. Everybody's going to love me. I sent my son. They're all going to love me. He is optimistic. And that thought of, you know what, I'm going to tell you, nobody's going to hurt me. It's not the Spirit of God. And let me tell you right in advance, people, if you have that attitude, people are going to hurt you. But let me tell you what, with that attitude, you're just going to keep on loving. You know what, it's like it just rolls off your back. You have this, actually, you have this protection by the Holy Spirit, and things just roll off your back. You're like, yeah, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Oh, that makes me so mad. They don't anticipate. Listen, hurt people, bitter people anticipate the worst in people, not the best in people. What number am I on? I'm on five? I'm on six now. Let's go to six. Bitterness will cause you to not see in the spirit. Bitterness will cause you to not see in the Spirit. Turn to, I have it on the screen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Watch this. Pursue peace. What do you do? Pursue? Peace. Everybody say pursue peace.
Pursue
no,
peace.
Not anger, not frustration, not, you know what I mean? Not, ooh. No, no. Pursue peace with how many people? All people. Even people who've hurt you. Pursue peace and holiness. Without which, watch this, no one can see what?
The Lord.
The Lord. See, that, and I'll show you in a minute, this is going to talk about the root of bitterness. When that root of bitterness comes in, it will warp your perception. You won't see in the spiritual realm. You'll start to see carnally. How many know, in every situation, you can put a negative spin on every situation? How many know this is true? And so, you know what? It starts, you just start to think, I tell you what, you know what? Everybody's a liar. Everybody's got an angle. You know, everybody's, you know, and listen, and we're not saying that anyone is, you know what? Everyone is working out their, well, people have issues. But just because people have issues doesn't mean that they're looking to just make your day awful. But you'll start to think that they are. You'll start to think, oh, they're inconsiderate. See, they did it again. They did it again. They're not even, they did it again. They did it again. And you won't even, listen, you won't even be able to see acts of kindness. You won't even be able to see it.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you why you did that. You did that because you just trying to soften me up. You just trying to butter me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't even see in the spiritual. Look, without which no one can even see the Lord. You're not seeing in the spiritual realm at all. You've gotten so
carnal that you can't see the goodness in people anymore. You can see the badness in people. But you can't see the goodness of people anymore. You don't even recognize it. Listen, this is imperative that you understand this. Because you know what's messed up about self-deception? You can't see it. You know what's messed up about a blind spot? You can't see it. And so there's goodness in people, and there's kindness in people, and there's graciousness and love in people. But you know what? You can't see any of it because you're bitter. What number am I on? I need a checklist. I need to get my pen out. I'm on 7. A peaceful spirit is a spirit that will drive out that spirit of bitterness. Go back to verse 14. Pursue peace. Why pursue peace? Because that spirit of peace, that spirit of cooperation, that spirit of that says, you know what, let's figure out, you know what, let me focus on what good you're doing. That's the spirit of peace. And that spirit of peace will drive out that bitterness in your life. Pursue peace with all men. How many of you know that there's some people who are harder to get along with than others? Hello, somebody. Amen? Well, guess what? The Bible doesn't say pursue peace with people who are easy to get along with. There are some people, they're just easy to get along, and it's just easy to get along. But there's other people, for whatever reason, they're harder to get along. But guess what? God has still placed them in your life. And maybe God has placed them in your life to show the love of God to them. Pursue peace with all men. Pursue peace with all men. That willing. Listen, just because let me tell you about this, the spirit of the demonic spirit. The demonic spirit wants you to be agitated and irritated with people all the time. And what happens is over a period of time, you start to create, listen to me, you start to create, that just becomes how you roll. And in your mind, again, because you're deceived, you can't even see it, you're just thinking, man, I tell you what's with people?
Man, everybody's all jacked up. Man, everybody's against me. Man, everybody, you know, life is so hard.
No, life isn't so hard. You know what? And again, remember, you can't solve this problem until you recognize that problem. Life isn't so hard. Life is a joy. Amen. Like there's good people all around. Tamara and I were talking about the other day, just talking about the awesome people in our church. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of Lydia. Lydia is so awesome. You know what I mean? She just is consistent, and she's a giver, and she loves, and she pray. She got just a great personality. She's just great. Amen. 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 You know what? George. George is a great person. Loves people, you know what, cares for you, you know what, gracious to his path, just great. Amen. I could go on and on and on. How many know we got great people in this church? Amen. The same person who recognized, man, this person is great, this person, how many know George is imperfect? How many know Lydia is not perfect? And you can start to see, man, I don't know why George wears his hair like that. You know what I mean? He should have done like this. You know what I mean? I don't know why Lydia, why did she do that? And you know what's going on? It's, you know what, you can't even see it. That bitterness has taken root. And let me tell you what, it will affect all kinds of areas in your life. It's the spirit of taking offense. That is a spirit of Antichrist. Get offended, be mad at everybody, be irritable. Irritableness is an attitude of bitterness. It's a sign of bitterness. It's the spirit of offense. You offend me. You offend me. I get, you know what, and we live in a society, so there's so many people embittered. They just get up, they're just, you know what, they're just, you know, it's like you can hardly, you know what, anything you say, it's like they're going to take it the wrong way. I know y'all aren't like that. Remember one of my points. I forget what point it was. Bitterness is easy to see in other people. It's harder to see in yourself. Are you learning something? Bitterness wants to attach itself to you. Look at verse 15. Bitterness wants to attach itself to you. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, cause trouble, and by this many are defiled. It wants to, you know what it is? Here's what happens. Listen to me. People hurt you. Life hurts you. And here's what it is. It's a seed. And what Satan wants to happen is he wants you to allow that seed to stay in that ground. How many know if you allow that seed to stay in the ground, you know what it's going to do? Look what it says. Lest any root of bitterness. That bitterness is going to, watch this, all eyes up here. That bitterness is going to now, because you haven't plucked it up, that bitterness is going to take root and it's going to spring. And it's going to take root, but then watch this. What's it going to do? It's going to spring up. It's going to take root and spring up. And watch this. And when it springs up, you know what it's going to do? It's going to take all these other forms that is going to. Look what the Word of God says. By this many become, what it's going to do to you? It's going to defile you. How many know Satan is he wants to take ground in your life? Maybe you've let a certain area in your life, you know what, a certain area of sin in your life, but Satan's like, oh good, I have them in this area. No, he wants to ruin your whole life. And that spring and that root of bitterness, if you allow it to stay there, it's going to spring up, and when it springs up, it's going to defile you. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Lest there be any fornicator or profound person. Whoa, wait a minute. Pastor, are you saying bitterness will cause me to be a fornicator? Here, all eyes up here. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Are you saying, look, fornicator and profane person, you'll start, you know what, your tongue will get so sharp. It's one of the signs of somebody's bitter. What's happened? That bitterness is defiling them. And let me tell you what, it's going to take over every area in your life. It will ruin relationships in your life. It will ruin your finances in your life. It will go into every area in your life, including sexuality and perversion as far as sexuality. Every area. Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you what, this is serious. This is a serious, and listen, and every single one of us, because we are living in this world, because we're alive, because we're breathing, we are open to allowing bitterness to creep in. Why? Because life is tough sometimes. Because people hurt us. Are you catching what I'm saying? Bitterness, well, it's my point nine. Bitterness will defile you. We already talked about that. Point 11 or 10. When you become bitter, you know what? You can't trust your judgment. When you become bitter, don't trust. You cannot trust your judgment. Why? Because you can't. You're not seeing things accurately. You're not seeing things accurately. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Why is Esau an example? Because Esau is out there. He's going to sell his birthright for a bowl of stew. And I don't care how good his brother used to cook. That is craziness. But let me tell you what happens with bitter people. Bitter people, they can't see what's right in front of them. Bitter people will divorce their wives or their husbands you don't divorce your children, but you, what do? You disown them. They'll disown their kids. They'll disown their parents. Well, who? Bitter people. Yeah, but my husband doesn't. Yeah, but my wife doesn't. Listen, of course he doesn't. But here's what's happened. You've allowed that bitterness to you don't even see the value in that person. And yet, of course they're working through errors. Of course. But you can't see the value that they have. Esau couldn't see the value in his birthright. So something will happen, it'll irritate you, you're irritable, and pretty soon that person who's really somebody else can see, wow, your spouse is something. Your spouse is valuable. You don't see it, and you'll discard something that's valuable. You'll discard, of course your children, you know what, are working through issues. But you'll be so offended that you'll discard them, you'll disown them. And listen, And that birth, why? Because it's not what you want right now. It's not, you know, right now. Bitter people will give up way, way too early. And it will affect their life to the negative. Are you learning something today? Number, what are we on? Number 12. We're at 12 already? Oh, yeah, bitterness, you'll give up too soon. You'll give up too soon. I'll take this. I'll take what's invaluable. I just want to be free of this irritation. Well, hey, that irritation is what God has placed in your life. And what you're not seeing, listen, how many of you know in a marriage, in relationships, people aren't 100%? Hello? but they might be 80% and working on the 20%, but your bitterness has caused you only to see the 20%. So you're going to discard people. Listen, our calling is not to discard people. Our calling isn't to look at people and go, oh, they're not valuable. No, no, no. You're going to give up way too early. Number 12, bitterness. When you stop believing, you will give up and become bitter. Remember, Martha and Mary said this. Martha said, Lord, I know that you can raise my brother up in the resurrection. See, bitterness causes you to lose hope for the now. You lose hope. And yes, maybe you say, yes, when I get to heaven, everything's going to be great. When I get to heaven, see, you might have hope when you die and get to heaven. But how many know God doesn't want you to have hope just for when you die and get to heaven? God wants you to have hope. Here's what God has called you, to be an ambassador of Christ, that you are to call the things that are not as though they are, that you, God's calling on your life is to take his kingdom and to infect this worldly, imperfect kingdom on this earth. He says, pray like this, that God's will be done on earth as in heaven. Who does that? You do that. You're on this earth. You're called to be a change agent of the corruption of the people around you. You're called. God wants you to be your Christians. You're to act like Christ, be an imitator of Christ. Why? So God will, the Bible says that you are to do good works, that you would glorify God, and it what will eventually will do, it those other people will glorify him also. In other words, your kindness, your pursuit of peace, your willingness not to look at things in the negative, in the carnal, it'll never work. Let me tell you what, optimism is infectious. And that's your calling. That's what God has called you to. Be optimistic about situations. But what bitterness causes you to do is it causes you to say, no, my situation is never going to change. This God, yeah. In the resurrection, you can raise Lazarus up. But let me tell you what, right now, forget it, God. It's impossible. And some of you listening to me right now have situations in your life and you've given up. Or you've just resolved, that's how it's going to be. It's always going to be this way. What's going on? Bitterness. That's what it is. That root that you should have plucked up a long time ago. Again, am I saying some of you have lost loved ones, and it's hard. But that root of bitterness has caused you to become cynical, and you know what? And you don't believe God anymore. Yeah, maybe someday when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But let me tell you what, God can't do anything for me today. That's what Martha and Mary believed. Don't roll away the stone. You're just going to make a bit. It's just going to stink. Listen, if they were optimistic for today, they would say, come on. They would have been the first to help roll away. Let's get this stone out of the way because God's got some work to do. And let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus, you know what? Jesus, it's your fault. He died. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus had his disciples. I don't know if you know this. Jesus had his disciples saying, we can't go there. We're going to go there. You know what Thomas said? In this story, Thomas said, it's where he said this. Right before they went, Thomas said, you know what? Yeah, to the other disciples. Yeah, we're going to go, and he's going to get us all killed. Can I tell you what? Jesus didn't care. He said, you know what his response was? Listen, we're going to go because let me tell you what, I'm going to raise Lazarus up. Can I tell you what? Bitter people will push people away that are the very people that God has placed in your life to help you. Imperfect people. But the very people that God has placed in your life and you're pushing them away. And Satan's just laughing at the whole thing. and you think you're justified. Why? You can't see. You're blind spiritually. So, well, Pastor, this has been a very interesting message. Well, I said all that, that you would be able to identify that maybe I'm talking to you. And hopefully, how many points we got here? In these 11 and 12 points, you've been able to identify at some point, wow, maybe God sent Pastor Drew in this message to speak to me. Maybe he's talking to me. I said all that to come to this point. Jesus says then, he says to that family, he says to Martha and Mary, he says this, he says, where have you laid him? Where is he? Because let me tell you what, let me tell you, Jesus wants to go where the hurt is. That's where he wants to go. And that's where he wants to go in your life. And until you're willing to say, let me tell you what, Jesus, this is where I was hurt. And this is where I became embittered. And I'm not talking about some funky psychobabble of going, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real Bible where you have to go and say, this is what happened. You know what? At this point in time, you know what? You have got to allow. You've got to take Jesus to that point and allow him to minister to you and pluck up that root of bitterness. But let me tell you about what Jesus did. Jesus went to the tomb. He made sure he got those people to roll away the stone, and then he spoke to something that was dead. You know what God wants to do today in your life? He wants to speak to an era. Maybe there's marriages today, and you're not divorced, but you know what? You're just living together, and you're just coping with each other. You're not loving each other. And the reason why you're not loving each other is because you have allowed that seed of bitterness, and you've justified it in your life, and you think it's okay, and God is speaking to you and say, no, listen, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying be tough. Be courageous and go and take me to that place and allow me to minister to you and allow me to take that seed of bitterness and allow me to take it up. Allow me to heal you where you are. Maybe it's a dream that you had and that business failed. Maybe it's a loved one and you expected that, you know what, that they would live and they died and you don't even know why. It seems unfair to you. God says, listen, life isn't over for you. You don't have to accept. You don't have to just think that your marriage has to just be, you know what? No, let me tell you what. I intended your marriage to cause you great joy. But you've got to be willing to take me to that place and allow me to heal you. Because the very person that has been sent to minister to you, even Jesus, you can say, no, Jesus, I don't, like the doctor. The doctor who says, no, let me see if, no, don't touch it. And it's sensitive and we won't allow anybody to touch it, even someone that wants to heal it. We won't even accept that it is it. No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. No, I'm okay. No, I'm no, no, I'm okay. And that's how your life has become. And you can still get on the phone. You can still get on the phone and you know what? Oh hi, yes, oh yeah. You can still fake people out. But that's not who you really are. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but let me tell you what I know. Let me tell you what I know. I know that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said to me, you need to minister this message. And when you do, you're going to minister to many, many people. Because what I want to do is I want to heal them at a deep level where they can get rid of this. Now, I know this might be hard, but with every head bowed, yeah, take a breath. You've got to take Jesus to that place. You've got to allow him to heal you. You know what? The Bible says you need to repent. The time of refreshing has come. You've got to have a willingness to say, Pastor, you were talking about me. But think of the positive. Wouldn't it be great if you walked away free today? If that's you, I want you to with every head bowed and every eyes closed and nobody looking around, I want you to have boldness to raise your hand and say, Pastor, you were speaking to me, and I want Jesus to heal my life today. All over the room. Don't be afraid. Raise your hand if it's you. Don't be ashamed. Life is tough. Father, you see the hands raised. I pray, God, I thank you that you heal the brokenhearted. Right now, God, listen to me. God is a supernatural God. God, you know what God did? God raised Lazarus from the dead. Today, right now, supernaturally, you are going to be healed from that bitterness. And immediately, things are going to change. Your attitude is going to change. Your heart is going to change. Your words are going to change. Because your heart has been healed by Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Tamara. You look so beautiful today. Not that you didn't look beautiful yesterday.
Yeah, that could be taken two ways, huh? Okay. That inner vow, I want to talk about that for a second. Inner vows, and it doesn't have to be a ground-shaking moment where you plant a tree and just go, from now this day forward. We see that in movies, right? Not like that. They're thoughts even that we have in our heart that we just make decisions. An inner vow is a personal determination that we make as a reaction to something that's taken place. So this happens all day long. Many times with God as well, where something isn't happening the way that we think or didn't go the way that we think. I know so many people who go through a tough time, and you know that there's just bitterness that took place. See, as believers, no one should do this, but believers especially should not do this. Because as believers, we're supposed to have lordship. But let me tell you why an inner vow is evil, and the Word of God calls it that. It's evil because when you have this inner reaction that you become determined, okay, no one's ever gonna hurt me like that again. Okay, from now on, I'm never going to. When we do that, here's what we're doing. We become Lord in that area, which is why God calls it evil. See, we take away lordship to him. And it's interesting because our reaction, surprise, surprise, is very different to hurt than God's reaction is. This is really, write this down. Just write it down, and today be sure in your Bible reading that you go ahead and take a look at this, because when you look at the details of it, it's in Matthew 5, starting at verse 43. And I'm only going to read a little bit of it. He says, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you. And do you love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, how quick does our flesh run to that? it doesn't. And in these situations, this is not what we do. So even if you're not putting that fiery sword in the ground, planting that tree, doing all this theatrical stuff that we see in movies when people make these inner vows. What was the Gone with the Wind? Remember that chick made a big inner vow somewhere? Anyway, there's a whole scene where it ends. You know what? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. So we maybe don't have the wind blowing through our hair in this big moment of crisis, but it doesn't change what we do in our heart. And listen to what the Lord, listen to just different things. And he says, do not harden your hearts. Have you read that in your Bible before? Do not. What is do not? It means don't do it, but it indicates what? Who's it up to? It's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. Do not do this. It's up to us that and the way that we how do we do it? How do we end up hardening our own hearts? We end up not doing what God said to do, which is to pray for and love those who hurt us. And so as soon as you get hurt, see, we ought to all be in prayer with this world. You know what I mean? We ought to be in prayer 24/7. Because people are out there hurting on every angle, right? But our own lack of lordship, that we're not responding to it the way our Lord told us to, causes us a root of bitterness. He said, many are defiled by this. Many. Every time we get hurt by something, and sometimes people hurt you, and really the best thing to do is exactly what the Bible says, go to that person and talk it out. But sometimes people hurt you, and we don't do that. Well, it doesn't, you know what I mean? You ever get hurt, and you're just like all babified? Anyone? It's you. It's your sensitivity. It really isn't that big of a deal, but it did hurt your feelings. I don't know that it really requires a conversation and a meeting, but it absolutely requires what? You've got to uproot that. Father, I thank you. You know what? For Israel, Isaiah, I'm sure he didn't mean it the way that I took it. I know that he's, you know what? He loves you. I see his heart. I see how he serves you. I know he's a man who walks in love. Father, just bless him. Thank you, you know what, for the man of God that he is. Thank you that he serves you. May you bless what he does for you. Now, what I've done, let's just say he hurt me, he offended me. Well, many times, we can misunderstand if we'll just stop for a second and get over our own feeling and our idol of emotions. We make idols in our life of us and especially our emotions. And when we do this with God, you know, something will not go right. I remember it was right after Shayla was born. I'll never forget this because I was going walking around the block all the time trying to lose my baby weight. And as I was walking, I had just gone through something, you know what, really difficult. Just another assault in life from somebody. And I was on a pretty good pity party ride as I began that day. And as I'm going around the block, and I just said, you know what, Laura, I'm so tired of this. I'm just so tired of this always happening to me. I'm tired of people and blah, 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 blah. And I was just, thank goodness, I'm talking it out with them. And listen to what the Lord said to me. He said, yeah, all that's true. But Tamara, haven't I always taken you somewhere better? Haven't I always taken care of you? And it made me, I began to think, and I thought, okay, well, when it happened there, yeah. See, I was very ungrateful for a God who, in spite of people, had always been there for me. And I began to focus, how was I doing that? Because I was hurt. And so many times people aren't talking it out with God. It's like, you know what? Let me tell you something. From now on, I'm not going to serve God like that no more. Because what good does it do anyway? Have you heard that? I've heard that. But we forget and we take for granted all that God is doing. And with people, it happens all day long. And as soon as you feel that hurt, we ought to quickly do exactly what the Bible says. Because that's how we guard our hearts. So that root of bitterness. We're not all shopping for roots of bitterness and shoving them down in us, eating them. You know what? They're happening all day around us. And we're either doing what our Lord told us to do, which uproots. I remember when David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, we end up walking not in the spirit of God. That's why anger comes out.
That's right.
And all kinds of other things, you know, sadness, depression, and, you know, all this stuff that comes that's not God because it's a different spirit. And we don't end up with peace. We end up with torment. God is, he is the one who will, as we repent just of our idolship of our own emotions and feelings, and of not giving him lordship over our hurts, if we'll humble ourselves and repent, he ends up cleaning this all up for us. Amen? And he says he'll take away our stony hearts. See, he'll take those hard hearts and he'll fix them. But they don't get fixed through knowing the right thing to do. They get fixed by doing what God has told us to do, which is that that's that Matthew 5:44. And whether that's the way you perceive yourself because of a job, or whether something's going on with a family member, whatever it is. If you went home today, and many times we do these things, and because they're not that gone with the wind moment, you know what? We don't even realize we do them. We just self-protect naturally. It wasn't a huge plan that we woke up with in the morning. Step one, step two, step three, here's what I'm going to do. Many times, we just move into it very subtly. But ask the Holy Spirit, where do you not have lordship in my life? Have I made any inner vows? Do I have any root of bitterness in me? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. Amen.